Dr. Susan Keyes. I'm very pleased to be hosting the Zero Suicide podcast series. And today I'm in Jackson County. And I'm pleased to be here with three collaborators from diverse sectors of the Jackson County community who came together to create an innovative messaging strategy for suicide prevention. And during the podcast today, we're going to hear more about that campaign that they've successfully launched. I'd like to introduce Deanne Everson from Jackson County United Way, Bill Mentz from 5 O'Clock Marketing, and Kristen Fedick with Jackson County Mental Health. Our conversation today will focus on some of the key insights that led this team to think differently about how to approach suicide prevention as part of their social marketing campaign and the communication tools they developed based on those insights. So, here we go. Before we get into our discussion, I'd like each of our panelists to just tell us a little bit more in their own words about themselves. So, Deanne?
Thanks so much, and thanks for being in Medford. I'm Deanne Everson. I'm the CEO of United Way of Jackson County and have been here for 23 years. And our United Way is focused on education, income, health, and transportation. And we have worked on this suicide prevention campaign for the last 3.5 years and got into it as a result of a different program that we have. And I look forward to sharing about it.
Thank you. And Bill, how about you?
Yeah, so thank you. Bill Mentz, thank you very much for being in Southern Oregon. We really appreciate the time that you're spending here. I was kind of entrusted from the messaging and then the execution of the plan. So I came in a little later than the beginning of this and was really honored to be part of the team. My job was really to get the word out. So we were very, very happy to do it. One of the best campaigns that I've run in the last 30 years as a marketing advisor.
Great. Okay. And Kristen?
So as a suicide prevention coordinator here for Jackson County, this is the main topic of what I work on 48 hours a week. So I was really excited to be part of this process and see a group of people that were really invested in suicide prevention. So just kind of advised about what the best practices are and how to go forward with this message.
Super. Well, this team, and I'm sure there are others also that were involved, have launched a very successful video-driven marketing campaign for suicide prevention. Can you tell our listeners about this Shatter the Silence campaign and why you decided as a group that you needed to focus on suicide prevention in your community?
I'll start. United Way has a program called The Big Idea, and the program grew out of 100% high school completion for the class of 2020. And one of our students said to me, "I don't care how many of us you graduate, how about you keep us all alive?" And that was 3 years ago. And Aubrey was concerned because one of her fellow students started to move away from her in band practice, literally just scooted away, took down his social media, started not coming to school every day, and did a lot of signs that told her things weren't right in his life. And as a result of that, she really has become involved in suicide prevention. And so she encouraged us as the whole United Way to get involved. And we brought together experts in the field, people who have lived experience, people who were interested, and people who are involved in United Way to come together to plan a campaign, to work hard to change things in our community. Because what we did as we began to learn about the data was realize that our numbers are escalating exponentially.
Kristen, can you maybe tell us a little bit more about the numbers or the escalation or from your perspective kind of how you see the problem in the county?
Yeah. So over the last 10 years, about the decade, we've had double the national average of suicide here in our community in Jackson County. And the difference between 2017 and 2018, we saw a 25% increase in our community, which is such a significant increase. We did see there's a lot of different prevention efforts that are going on, obviously. I do a lot of different trainings in our community. A lot of them have been geared towards middle and high school students. And I really believe as a community and everybody working together, putting policies and procedures in place and getting people aware of suicide and like the warning signs, we've actually been able to see zero suicides for 18 and under for the first year since 2010. And so that's pretty exciting for us that it is working, but we're also seeing an increase in the 19 and over population.
Wow, that's really incredible news, though, that you've seen that decrease with that specific population. Deanne, I'm really struck by the person saying, help keep us alive. That was quite a statement, and it sounds like you really heard that, and that was a really meaningful, impactful conversation.
It's really hard to have a 14-year-old look you in the eye and say, how about you keep us all alive?
Yeah.
It's a pretty onerous responsibility, and one that I took very seriously. I didn't know very much about suicide prevention or anything, and have been on a pretty steep learning curve and still don't know very much about it, really, in terms of people who have a lot of expertise. But now I know that anytime someone comes into my office and closes my door, that's what we're going to talk about. Or anytime someone calls me and their voice drops, that's what we're going to talk about. So at least we have done what our goal was, which was to shatter the silence.
Good for you. Good for you. Well, let's hear more about how you made that happen. I remember when we spoke earlier that when your group initially got together, you were sort of thinking about moving in a different direction than how this campaign actually played out. Can someone tell me a little bit about what some of your initial thinking was about how you wanted to address this in your campaign?
The majority of our committee has had experiences in their life with people who took their own lives, either with family members or close friends. And they really wanted the campaign to memorialize those people. And they had a keen attachment to that. So they wanted empty chairs or picture frames of people who were gone from their lives. And by having experts on our committee, including Kristen and Stacy Brubaker, who's head of our mental health department at the county, they were there to constantly and consistently remind us that that was not an appropriate path. But it took us a long time to integrate their expertise and to shift the conversation.
And I want to come back to that, but I want to pull Bill into the conversation a bit, because I think you kind of were part of that shift and had some strong feelings about how you thought this campaign should play out, and then had kind of a change of heart. So can you give us your perspective?
Yeah, so Deanne invited me to come in and sit in this committee of people, and there's about 19 people around the table really passionate about this communication. And they were bankers and police officers, and I mean, it was just this unbelievable diverse group of people. And they literally kind of expressed where they were going. And I think it was a little bit of a hybrid of the discussion when I first came in of the two different paths to go. But they challenged me with a couple of things. They said, don't glorify suicide in any way, shape, or form. And be careful that you don't create any like copycat behavior, and make sure that the language that you use is really language that people, experts have kind of devised. And they sent me on a task. I always say the story, I probably should have ran at that particular point. It was the hardest thing I ever wrote because of those conditions. The thought of producing something that would create somebody to think more about suicide versus less about suicide was just, you know, it was a huge responsibility, if you will, to make sure that people, that less people die by suicide. So I wrote, and it actually took me a long time, and Deanne was very patient with me to get it actually written. And Kristen really helped me to keep the language correct. But the crazy thing was, when I went out to kind of research what's the right language to use, there was a lot of conflicting information around the world, literally, on what is the best. And so I was kind of having to thin out and kind of rewrite and get it just right. But what we landed on was something that really came out of an experience of experiencing that research. At the end of the day, whenever I did that research, I felt at the end of going through it how hopeless this project was. And it kept coming back to this hope or hopelessness in the things that I was seeing and hearing. And so what we did is we created a campaign that empowers people to have a conversation with people they're concerned about around them, whether that's family or friends, whether it's coworkers or neighbors. And we covered all the different age groups to make sure that everybody understood that this isn't just a teen suicide issue or a senior suicide issue, that it really affected all people. Yeah, go ahead.
I want to just interrupt because I want to go back to something that you said to make sure we get that piece before we go to what actually happened. And you said you were just feeling that things were hopeless, that you got this research and you kind of thought about what people were saying they wanted to do. What did people want to do that made you feel it was hopeless?
I think that much of the hopelessness came from the fact that there has been in the past of people who died by suicide to memorialize those. And so when you're giving that message out, it's just not a hopeful campaign. Our campaign shifted to celebrate people getting involved with the people around them and the people choosing not to die by suicide.
Mm-hmm. Very powerful. Very powerful. So if I can just kind of recap that, putting together what you're saying. So initially people wanted to have pictures of people who died and kind of memorialize the loss. And after you did your research and people started to think about what kind of best practices there are, you thought that maybe there needed to be a shift from something that communicates hopelessness to something that's more hopeful.
Yes, absolutely. That was the big transition. And by the way, if for those of you who write, that was the moment that the writing got easy.
Interesting. Very interesting. So tell me more about this Shatter the Silence campaign, because I noticed that there's still pictures of people in it. You kind of continued with something, but you put it into a much more, as you said, hopeful perspective. So tell me what you actually did with your campaign.
Yeah. Anytime you're doing it or building good creative, you want to create a little bit of anticipation, if you will. So there was picture frames where people were holding picture frames as they were talking about that, but it was very subtle. It wasn't something that we zoomed in on in any way, shape, or form. It just was in their hands. And so I think that the objective there was to make this transition to hopefulness, because what we did is the people who showed up on the picture as we transitioned to hope is they actually came alive, and they were now with all the people that had talked about them up to that point, and they had survived suicide, and they were thankful because of it.
Mm-hmm. So what your campaign really showed were these people making connectivity with the person that they were worried about.
Yeah.
And I just remember kind of watching the videos and you're thinking, oh, I hope, did they die or are they okay? And then all of a sudden you see, yes.
They're okay.
It was really remarkable. A really, really, I'd say stroke of genius. It was just clever. It was engaging and really, really to the point. And I'd just say congratulations to this team. I think you've created a really really striking, poignant campaign.
Yes, thank
but,
you.
But tell me a little bit about some of the results, because I know you've given a presentation on some of your data, and it's me looking at it and saying, wow, but I think you have some really good uptake on it too. So let's kind of shift and talk about that a little bit.
So implementation, once you have a great idea, you have to implement it. And so, this was really neat because we engaged media partners. So it wasn't just social. So we actually had a multi-platform. We used newsprint. Our two largest newspapers in Southern Oregon, actually to kick off this campaign, they actually published a full 12-page handout that went out to the entire community and was used all over the community. So we used some traditional media. We actually had a campaign that influenced 9 counties in Southern Oregon and Northern California that drove people to our website and got the word out as well. And then of course we use the new tools, which are the tools of using the internet. So Facebook and Instagram and all of the Google and all of the ones that are out there. We utilized those tools and we basically tried to get the message out as much as we could. I think in the end we accomplished our goal. So in Southern Oregon, we actually had over $1,300,000 impressions on our community, which is huge for a community of our size.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Excellent. And when did this campaign launch?
September 6th, and it ran through the end of February of 2019. It's still live. It's still all over all mm-hmm. those platforms. But that data is from September 6th to February 28th. And it's more than incredible. It's absolutely amazing. United Way, we have a really good social media reach ourselves, and we have good practice in doing it. Bill and I have worked together on a prior campaign on reducing the stigma around mental illness, which was our first effort, and it was really successful and ended up being one of the state's most successful social media campaigns before this effort. And our United Way is the only United Way in the country to have won an Emmy Award for a previous public awareness campaign on television around methamphetamine addiction. In partnership with KOBI. So we've done several social media and television public awareness campaigns, but this was profound. And our goal was to actually change the public conversation around something that we really weren't talking about. And we did that with a lot of people.
Excellent. Must be so gratifying.
Really. It is if it has the right effect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Deanne, you've been identified as a community champion for this work. How has this been a meaningful role for your community and this campaign, having your leadership?
I don't know, and I'm not sure I know what community champion means, other than, if a 14-year-old asks you to do something, you should do it as a responsible adult. Generally, I'm pretty silly and goofy as a person. It's sort of my way of being in the world. But that was a really serious moment. And so I hope we all rise to that challenge when a kid asks us to do something. That young woman's going to graduate next year as a part of our Big Idea program. And she is always grateful that we stood up to what she wanted us to do. And so that's my measure of success. The rest of it doesn't really matter. But if I did the right thing for her, I did the right thing. And so for us, if we can change the conversation and we can engage people in the conversation and grow it in whatever ways we can grow it, that's the important piece. And every great community change effort has to have someone who's willing to stand in the center of it. And so whatever that is, regardless of the movement, it doesn't really matter. So I'm privileged that Aubrey spoke to me. So
excellent. Excellent. Just thinking back a bit, what was it like going back to your community group that had been so committed to the original idea and Bill went out and kind of did research and said, you know, I'm not sure the original idea is gonna work. I mean, did you come back with the change, the shift to present to them, or how did you get that larger group to be part of the new vision?
So a little insider story for everybody. By the time I had finished the project and by the time I had gotten down on paper what I wanted to produce, and Kristen had made sure that I had accomplished the goals that were set out and I was using the right language, and Deanne was making sure I held to the purpose that she originally started championing this effort. And I went in and presented to that large group, and I don't think I really gave them much of an opportunity to say no, because I walked them through the process that I went through. Mm-hmm. And so I think in the end, there was a lot of them were saying, yes, go. But I think a lot of them were saying, we're all so passionate about it, we just need to let them go, because the passion is what's going to make the difference. Mm-hmm. In the community. So I think that one of the members of the committee just turned around and said, well, after that, how can we say no?
So you wowed them.
I think I was strongly influencing them, yes.
I think they turned appropriately. Mm-hmm. How it is so easy to turn from hopeless to hopeful when given the opportunity. And if this work isn't about anything, it is about that. And given a chance to move from hopeless to hopeful, a room is going to turn. And in the presentation of his pitch, everyone turned. They only began to quibble and edit language. And mm-hmm. you're like, cut it out. You're not going to change that word. And you're not going to change Janet's fake name to some other name. Right. Because it's not about that.
Good.
It's about being hopeful. And everyone was ecstatic and could not wait to see the spots.
Excellent. Well, I think this community should be really, really proud. Really proud of what you've produced, and really thankful for these leaders that are here with me today. It's really an excellent campaign and an excellent example of how a community can come together to do good. So thank you. Thank you for your leadership. As we sort of bring things to a conclusion, is there any other piece of advice you'd like to give another community that might be trying to launch something similar?
So I think that the biggest thing and the focus was hope, right? We need to be bringing hope to communities. But I also think it's more than that. It's the idea of connection. I think that it in every single one of the spots, the four different videos, that it's all about connection. It's about human connection, and that's what saves lives, period. So we need to have people around us aware of the issues, right? Aware of different warning signs and kind of putting people into action and saying, hey, I want to learn more about suicide prevention and how can I help? Because it really just takes one person to make the difference in someone's life when they're in that really low down spot. We just need that connection and knowing that somebody cares and will make that effort to kind of help pull them out of that hole and get them the services they need. And so I think that whatever campaign people are working on, that is the goal. Is we want to focus on hope, focus on connection, and getting people connected to the right resources and being aware of them.
Super. Anybody else? Final thought?
Yeah, I think if I would advise anybody is to remind them with the use of social marketing in general and literally internet marketing, if you will, it can be as simple as a $10 promoted post to a full campaign like we did. So don't let if you're encouraged and you want to help communicate to your communities, those resources really give you the opportunity to do it no matter what your budget is. So just get out and make a difference in your community and make sure people don't die by suicide.
Thank you.
I would just say that we are in this together and we have a responsibility for each other, regardless of what's going on in our lives. And as we lose connection through the advent of social media and other types of media and other engagements in our lives, we can't be too busy to know how each other are. And it's okay to ask people how they are. And we have to do it still.
Well, thank you. Thank you for creating a campaign that really did emphasize connectivity and really did emphasize hope. I think you're spot on. So thank you for being with me today. That concludes this spot. And I hope that our listeners have enjoyed this as much as I have. Thank you very much.